Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Horsham. This message is by Clive Urquhart.
God is working and moving amongst us, and obviously we're getting really encouraged at the moment in terms of just cultivating, developing your personal prayer life. And also, what does that mean for us together, being a people of prayer, and how God wants to strengthen both. And we know, as believers, we're all aware of our weaknesses. Anybody else aware of your weaknesses? Yeah. And yeah, anybody else is just me. And it seems to be that the more you go on with God, the more you're aware of your weaknesses.
That's right.
And that you actually can't do anything.
Yeah.
It's only God that does the things in you. But at the same time, you learn, you grow in that trust, in that relationship with Him. And in that place and trust, there's a confidence that also grows, not in yourself, but in Him, in terms of who He is. And there's that confidence and assurance of who He is in your life. And I think that's sometimes why we're also then aware of our weaknesses, which is a good thing. Paul the Apostle says, I boast in my weaknesses so that Christ's strength is perfected in me. And so this is the kind of one of the things about the Christian life, isn't it? That we want to be strong in the things of God and all of that. And sometimes we think, I've got to feel strong and I've got to feel like I've got it all together. I've got to feel like I'm on top of the world. And but yet often we're aware of just the infallibility,
yeah.
Is that the right word?
Yeah.
Of who we are,
yeah.
And all the weaknesses that we have. And that's partly why, you know, as we get into the Word often reminds us of who God is and then who we are in relationship to Him,
yeah.
And what that means. And sometimes we read the Word not necessarily to discover something new. It's like, what else can I find that's new in here that I haven't? And sometimes we're reading it and God's just reminding us, hey, this is who I am. This is who I am. This is who I am. And He's reminding us, this is who you are in relation to me. This is who I am in you. And often it's a reminder. It's to strengthen, to remind us. Why? Because so often in life, there are so many things that are coming at us constantly, telling us all sorts of other things, either about ourselves or about how we're supposed to be or what the culture's like or what's happening out there. And just in our everyday lives, things that come at us that can be challenging, can affect our mental stability, our emotional stability, can affect, you know, circumstances, all sorts of things come at us. And often what we're doing when we get into the Word is we're just reminding ourselves of the things that we know. But as we remind ourselves, what we know begins to sink from here down more and more into here, so that what we know becomes an experiential reality in our lives, not just the knowledge of what we know. And sometimes in our quest as people, you know, is there another frontier out there? Is there life on another planet? Is there something else that can be invented, discovered? And there's always this something in us, in human nature, that is we want more, something new, something I haven't experienced, and all of that. I personally believe that's something God's put in us, that there's more than just what I have right now. In my life, just in general in life, that there's something more than just me. There's something else in life that to be discovered. And we all know that's God, in terms of there's more than just ourselves. But also within all of that, there's this, I just want to know who you are. And I want to remind myself of who you are and who I am in you. And as we said last week, what that begins to cultivate and release in us is a greater sense of thanksgiving.
Yes.
What we're thankful for. It's so easy in life to be dissatisfied with what we have. I want more. I want the next thing. I want something else. And thankfulness brings a satisfaction in us because I'm thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for what you've done. I'm thankful for what you're doing. I'm thankful for what is yet to come. But I'm fulfilled in who I am in you because you're in me and I don't need anything else or someone else to be my fulfillment or my satisfaction, you know. And I've brought four chairs up this morning thanks to Julian's help. And we're just going to unpack some things this morning in relation to what God is talking to us about in relation to prayer, developing our own prayer life, personal history with God, but also corporately, God strengthening that this corporate dynamic of faith and that we have when we pray. And often we can think of prayer as something we do rather than prayer being a relationship with someone. And often we can talk about prayer being an activity rather than it's a relationship. So like my wife, I don't think about my relationship with Jane as an activity. Well, I'll fit her in somewhere and, you know, and well, I'll do this today. My relationship with her is not an activity. It's a relationship I'm having of interaction with her, and there's different levels in that relationship depending on what we're doing at any given moment. And God, by his amazing grace and love, he has put his Spirit in us, the person of the Holy Spirit. Because God is a relational God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Relationship, the Trinity, three in one. They're in relationship with one another. And he puts his Spirit in us, the Spirit of Jesus, as the Bible talks about, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of grace. The Holy Spirit is described in many different ways. And Jane's going to be speaking next week on Mother's Day and going to unpack more really about the Holy Spirit and what it means to pray continually. In that sense. And that's not a striving in prayer. It's a way of life that the Holy Spirit enables us to live in. And so we're just going to look at some things about this morning about spirit, soul, and body. And how do we live in alignment with God? Because prayer is relationship with Him. And relationship is living at one with Him. Relationship is living in agreement with Him. And so part of this walk and relationship that we have with Jesus is this daily reminding ourselves of who He is and who we are, giving Him the space and the time to speak into our lives, anything that He wants to say to us, show to us about Himself or other areas of our life that we are living in. So many of us will know a lot of what I'm going to share this morning. Maybe for some of you, it'd be like, well, I didn't know that or I haven't heard that kind of thing before. This chair here is our lives before we knew God. Now, let's just talk about this for a minute. So God is spirit, but we also know that He has a mind. Sometimes when we talk about God being spirit, we think, you know, of this, God is spirit. How do you, you know? But the Bible also talks about the mind of Christ, the mind of God. So God's not just some ethereal kind of thing, like somewhere. He has a mind. He also has emotions. God feels. God has a will, the will of God, the purposes of God. So God is spirit. He also has a mind, emotions, and a will. Now, God doesn't have a physical body as such. When Jesus came in man, God made flesh. So God had to create a body, in one sense, in which to house the image of who He is. So in creation, it says that man was made in the image of God. So when we were made in the image of God and Adam was made, he had a spirit. He also had a mind. He had emotions and he had a will. Without a will, you can't really have a two-way relationship of love. So God is love. In his love, he creates, he forms, he makes, he shapes. And he created man to have relationship with him. But man had to have a will to reciprocate in love to the one that was loving him. And that's the same in any relationship. There must be this free will to choose. I choose to give myself to you. I choose to be in relation. I choose to reciprocate and respond to your love. It's a two-way thing. So when God created Adam, Adam had a spirit, not the Holy Spirit at this moment. Every person has a spirit in them. They also have a mind, emotions, and will, but God houses that in a physical body, or gave us a physical body to house all of that in. Now, when we don't know God, before we are born again, before someone comes alive in God, let's put it that way, we live here in this world, separated from God. Let's just call this, because this is a believer here, but let's just call this the Spirit of God in us, okay? Coming alive to Christ. So before we know God, we live here. Now, we still have a spirit, but our spirit is not alive to God. And therefore, we live in the natural self. And the natural self is our own thinking, our own understanding, our own will, and obviously how we express all our emotions through the body, okay? So everybody who's living in the world is either living here right now, or for those that know Christ and have given their life to him, once lived like this, but now no longer live, controlled, if you like, by what the Bible talks about, the sinful nature. Now, when you live in that sinful nature, your mind, emotions, and your will express through the body, the Bible talks about that as living in the flesh. So before you know God, it doesn't matter what you do in life, however people might frame it, that was a good thing, that was a nice thing, that was a bad thing. However it's framed, before you know God, you are in the flesh. Okay, you are living in that sinful nature, separated from God, okay? Your spirit, you have one because we're made in the image of God. God is spirit. If we're made in his image, we have a spirit, but your spirit is not alive to God. Now, when you surrender your life to him, you are surrendering everything to him, your mind, your emotions, your will, your body, but you're also surrendering your spirit, you're giving your spirit to him. So depends on how you read scripture, and some people interpret this in slightly different ways. Some people say your spirit is dead, is not alive to God, and therefore your spirit comes alive when God comes and lives in you. Okay, that's the Bible's clear about that. Some people say your spirit can be contaminated, and when you're born again, your spirit also becomes born again, okay? Personally, I believe that your spirit is not alive to God, and that when you are born again, he comes to live in your spirit, and your spirit comes alive to God, okay, in that way. So you come alive, and Christ comes to live in you. Now, where does he live? Well, he does live in your spirit. Jesus says, those who believe, those who walk with me, they will, rivers of living water will flow from deep within them, from their belly. And if you read that verse in John 7, it talks about, and he was talking about the spirit in you, okay? The spirit coming in you and being in you. So those rivers, so he comes to live in your spirit, but also the Bible also talks about that, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Now, what is our heart? Is it a physical heart, or is there the heart of who we are as a person? So who is the heart of who we are as a person? It is your spirit. It's also your soul, your mind, your emotions, and your will, okay? And so God comes to live in us, and so his love is shed abroad in our hearts, in our lives. In Corinthians, it says that our bodies now have become temples of the Holy Spirit. Now, and the context of those verses is in the context of how you use your body, particularly in the area of sexual activity, and what Paul is speaking about to the Corinthians because of some of the things they were doing, was, hey, guys, remember, your body now, it doesn't just belong to you to do whatever you want with. Your body now belongs to Christ. So honor God with your body in the way that you are with one another, okay? Now, but also if we honor God with our bodies, our body isn't just this bit here. This is our body. It has a head. We have a mind. We have a brain. In here, there are emotions and feelings. We also have a will where we decide what we do. So when the Bible also says, honor God with your body, we want to honor him then with our mind. We want to honor him in our emotions, and we want to honor him in the way, the things that we choose, the decisions we make with our will. Yeah. Is this all right? You here? Are you with me this morning? Okay. I know some of you are going, this is ABC Christianity, Clive, but some of you might need to hear this. Okay. And again, it's a reminder. So why are we talking about this? Because in our relationship with God, which often we call we use this word prayer. But often what we do with prayer is we put it in a box and we say, this is my prayer time. And as if we're putting our relationship with God into a 10, 15 minute, 30 minute, 1 hour, 2 hour compartment in the day. And then we kind of get on with our lives, knowing he's with us and he's in us. But prayer is a relationship with God. It's a walk with God. And we know sometimes we gather to pray, because we are in relationship with God and he wants us to pray his will on earth as it is in heaven, we do come together to pray. We know we spend time with God on our own, because there is an aspect, like in a marriage, there are times of intimacy in a marriage between a husband and a wife where it's only the two of them that are in that place of intimacy. Nobody else comes into that level of intimacy. But there are other times in your relationship where there isn't that intimacy in that way, physical intimacy, but you're hanging out, chatting, you're eating a meal together, you're talking about stuff, you're discussing things, but then you have your family, you've got friends, and there's levels of depth and relationship in that way that are expressed in our lives. So we know that an intimacy with Jesus is important, that it's not just, well, I have my time with him while I'm driving in the car, or just when I'm on the train and all of that. I get that, because it's a relationship, it's a walk with him. But there are also, if you're going to be intimate with your wife, you don't say to her, well, we'll just do that in the car on the way somewhere. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, don't think about that too much. It's the same with him. There's an aspect of intimacy where you're not doing anything else. It's just you and him, and you're fully present with him. Now, God wants us to live fully present all the time with him. That's partly why we cultivate over here this intimacy with him. This intimacy with him here. Anyway, let's crack on. So why are we talking about this stuff this morning? Because when God comes to live in us, he becomes Lord. He's not just Savior, saving us from our sin and everything else that this life represented. He is our Savior, but he's also Lord. Now, sometimes Lord sounds like, oh my word, that sounds heavy. Lord is just, I want you to lead me. I want to surrender to you. I want you to be Lord. I want you to be in charge. Because I know here it wasn't going so well. Whereas you've got a life for me that when I let you lead me, everything flourishes. Doesn't mean there aren't tough times and things we go through. That doesn't mean life is like this, just hovering off the ground all the time, like you're in La La Land. You know, we live in the real world. There are tough things we go through, right? But in that, God shows us more of who he is. So if we have a spirit, we have a soul, mind, emotions, will, and a body, okay? This is he comes to live in us. But we also know that we have our own thinking, our own mind, our own thoughts and perceptions, our own opinions and all of that. And that some of that is through your experience, some of that is through your personality and all sorts of different things you encounter in life that we form, that we read, that we watch and everything else, and relationships we have. So our thinking is developed in different ways. So, but we also have emotions, how we feel, and we have a will, and then we have a body. And how the Bible describes this, we're just read through 1 Corinthians. I had loads of scriptures here, but I've kind of just said them as we've gone. But we're going to read through 1 Corinthians 2, 6 to 16, okay, for a few minutes, and then just pick out a couple of things. Then we're going to have communion together. So this is really about aligning our lives. And how do we actually do this in our lives when we spend time with Him? How do we really submit our thinking, our emotions and our will and our body to the Holy Spirit who is in us? How do we live that Spirit-filled, Spirit-led life, okay? So this is what Paul says here. He says, "We speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began." That mystery is the mystery of who He is. It's the mystery of salvation, what He did on the cross and how He took everything that could separate us from Him upon Himself, the mystery of that and how He did that. So that He took the punishment of our sin upon Himself so that we don't have to be punished for our sin. All of that is quite a mystery. I know we can try and understand it, but it's still the mystery of God at work to enable us to come from here, this place here, being separated from God, to here, now being a child of God and all that that means. Then it says here, none of the rulers of this age understood it. So in the natural mind, we don't understand the things of God, okay? For if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory.
Yeah.
It's amazing how people can be in a place where they think they're doing the right thing, but because they don't understand the mind of God and the things of God, are not doing, as far as God's concerned, what the right thing is. However, it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. So when you're living here, people that don't know God, they don't see what God, who God is, what He could do for them, what life could be like, because they've never known Him, never experienced Him. That's partly why your story of who God is so important. When you share, well, this is the reality of who God is in my life. This is what's happened in me. I used to be like this. And when I talked to God or when I asked Him this or I gave Him that or this is what He's done in me, nobody can take your story away from you.
That's right.
And you don't know when you share your story with someone how God can use that. You might have said 15 minutes of your story, but there was one sentence in it that you said that this person is just mulling over and they haven't heard the other 10 minutes since you made that one statement, but they're hearing one sentence and it's mulling over them. It's mulling over because for them in that moment, that's the one thing that God's going to go, right, that's what they needed to hear.
Yeah.
Anyway, so these things that God has revealed to us, these are the things, hang on, let's have a look. So there's things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things, verse 10, that God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. This is why we need the Holy Spirit in our lives. If you think about the mind here, the mind's powerful. If you think about so many things out in the world that have been created, being developed, and all the ideas, inventions, and everything else. Now, I'm sure some of the inventions that have happened over the decades or centuries or whatever, probably being inspired by God in some way, because many of the people who actually invented things were believers. And I'm sure there are some things that God switched the light on, for example, the electricity or whatever, you know, various things, the people that invented them. I'm sure many of them were believers. But when you look at so many things in the world, the mind is a powerful thing to be able to innovate and create. And the will also is a very strong thing, along with some emotions, if you like. There's some drive that people have to achieve things. It is pretty phenomenal, right? So in and of itself, this thing actually can be pretty powerful.
Yes.
So the soul itself, the mind, emotions, and the will, they're not negative. They're not negative things, okay? It all depends on what are they connected to. Which nature are they connected to? If they're connected to the sinful nature, and the Bible clearly talks about in Romans, if we sow to that nature, we eventually sow to death in our lives, but we sow to everything that's corrupt and everything else. So there's some things out there that you think, wow, it's amazing. So no matter what's out there being created and achieved and built in the natural, it doesn't have any eternal consequences in that sense. But when your mind, emotions and will, and your body also, because if your body's given to the wrong things here, it causes all sorts of stuff. But when you're born again and you give your life to Christ, your mind, emotions and your will and your body, your soul and your body, are now connected to the Spirit of life.
Yes. Yeah.
So we still have a natural mind. We still have our emotions. We still choose. We still have our physical body. But instead of now being led and driven by the sinful nature and the things of the world, they're now led, not driven, big difference. Here we live driven. Here we live led by the Holy Spirit. But Jesus also talks about that those who want to be my disciples, they take up their cross daily and follow me. So in Christ, our position is we're children of God, we're sons of God, we've been made acceptable, we're worthy, we're holy, we're blameless. All these truths that are real in our relationship with God. But yet Jesus knew and he understood that we're going to be challenged daily to live in this way, because we're living in a world that isn't perfect, that is corrupted, that does want to pull you back, you know, and we know we have an enemy that doesn't want us to live in the way that God wants us to. And so he knows we take up our cross daily. What does that mean? It doesn't mean that we have to, we're not crucifying Jesus again every day. But what it does mean is we're making sure that the old life that the Bible talks about is now dead and buried, and in baptism in water goes into that grave and is buried forever, and you come up a new person in Christ, this new life in him. What Jesus is talking about taking up your cross daily is that we make sure that that life stays dead, in the sense that there are temptations, there are this, that, and the other. And so what we do is daily, and sometimes it's throughout the day, depending on what's happening in our lives and what's going on and the challenges we might be facing, that we are submitting our mind, our thoughts, our perceptions, our opinions to the mind of Christ. What is the mind of Christ? The mind of Christ is the Word of God, okay? How many of you ever have contrary thoughts to what the Bible says? Stick your hand up and join me. Right, okay, brilliant. Let's verse 11. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. This is why it's so important. So what we have received is not the spirit of the world, which we used to have, but now as the Spirit is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. And that is what we speak. Not words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual truths or spiritual realities with spiritual words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, because they don't understand them, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are not discerned, because they are only discerned through the Spirit. See, this is why even when now you're a believer, it's so important that we submit our thinking, our thoughts, our opinions, our feelings, our emotions, whatever we're going through, that we are submitting them to the mind of Christ, to the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God and He reveals them to us. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth and He'll remind us of the truth. He'll lead us into the truth. And so in our walk with God, in our alignment with God, in our prayer life and corporately, we are constantly saying, Father, I submit my thoughts to yours. Because I want to live in the mind of Christ and not just in my own mind. Or I submit my emotions here. You know, when you become a believer, I don't know about you, you know, we all have emotions, right?
Yes.
And we all can, yeah. Right? Yeah. But if we're submitting our emotions to Him, then there should be less of that. And gradually, you know, of course we have moments, right? But also there should be much more of being a stable, emotionally stable person in that sense. Last verse, then we're going to have communion. The person without the Spirit doesn't accept the things of God because he doesn't understand them. Verse 15, the person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. When it says the Spirit makes, with the Spirit, they're making judgments, it doesn't mean they're judging everybody. What it means is you have the Spirit who helps you to discern in time so that you're making judgments about things, not judging people and judging things, but you're in a place to make judgments about, I don't think it's right for me. I get this sense of, and no, that's not, you know, not condemning people or condemning things, but these judgments and what's going on in the world, you're like, that's really not, you know, la la la. It's the Holy Spirit in you enabling you to make judgments of what is of Him and what isn't. And then it says finally, who has known the mind of the Lord so to instruct Him? No one. But then it says, but we have the mind of Christ. So what are we doing when we're living here in Christ as a believer? We have our natural mind, emotions and will, but we're submitting the natural mind and emotions and will to the mind of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't have moods, okay? The Holy Spirit doesn't have any negative moods, right? We can have negative moods. The Holy Spirit's not moody.
That's right.
Okay? And so we're submitting our emotions to the Holy Spirit, the mind, the heart, and the will of the Holy Spirit. We're submitting our will to His. And when we do that, the life of the Spirit is expressed in us with the mind of Christ, with His heart, the way He wants to, and we choose what He wants, and then we live that out through the body. Through our physical body and the way that we then live or act or whatever we do. And so we're going to have communion this morning and we're just going to surrender afresh to Him, our mind, our emotions, our will, our body. There's loads of temptations here and we know they all interact. When you can see things, you can hear things, and that affects what's going on in your body. It then stirs things up here. It can get you thinking. It can make you angry. It can get you, you know, and all of this. Or you can other emotions that, you know, rise up. And you can make decisions here that then you fell out of sorts here. And if you continue on that line, it can feel like you're back here.
Yeah.
When you're not, you're still born again, but you're just out of alignment with God. And He doesn't come with a big whip and go, you know. He's a good Father, right? And he's still here, sitting here on His throne. And sometimes we're living over here, doing our own thing. And He's just like, it's just come back here. Come back here. Let me rule and reign in your life in a fresh way. Just resubmit everything. And He picks us up. He forgives us. He says, come on, guys, let's come back here. Let's come back into alignment, agreement, you know. All the unrest that's been going on, just let me... But He doesn't give you peace there. As you surrender stuff, the peace comes in here. And when you're at peace here, that flows then, rest in here. Rest in here. Emotionally and then physically and all of that. Let's all stand together, shall we? Can somebody just grab me a little bit of bread and one of those cups over there? Is that okay? Thanks, Charles. Actually, could everybody, can you just get into groups of four or five? Just quickly get into groups of four or five. Thanks, Charles. And could one person from your group go and get the amount of cups you need for your group and a chunk of bread? Is that okay? Do you just want one person from your group? Now, it's nearly 11:30. If you want to get your children, okay, and they can also be part of having communion with us, that would be brilliant. So if you've got kids, you could go and up to the groups now. It's a couple of minutes early. They won't mind. It'll be a shock for them, I think, if we were slightly early. So if you want to go and get your children, you can bring them back and they can be part of this time together having communion. Have you? Great. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, for some of you, okay, you might need a slight change of thinking. If you've thought that your mind, emotions, and will are not a good thing, or if you've had any kind of negative, you know, your soul, as in what makes up your soul, something, well, the soul's not a good thing because I've now got the Holy Spirit to sort my soul out because my soul's not a good thing and I need the Holy Spirit. And your mind, emotions, and your will are part of who you are. God has created you with those. When they were connected to the wrong nature, they were all corrupted, okay, in that sense. And you expressed all of that in the way that you lived. Now you're in Christ, okay? He transforms us by the renewing of our mind. He renews our mind. He changes a lot of the old ways that we were thinking here, lined up with however we lived or whatever was going on. And he transforms us so that we have the mind of Christ. We have his understanding that changes our natural thinking so that our natural mind also is now agreeing and lining up with the mind of the Spirit. So your mind now understands a whole lot of spiritual stuff and things from the Bible because you've got God in you and he's revealed things to you about who he is and what the Bible says. And therefore, in your natural mind now, you have a load of understanding and knowledge and information and things that are part now of your natural way that you think. Yes. Are you there?
Yes.
It's not just that is the mind of Christ, the spiritual mind, and your natural mind is still somewhere. Your natural mind has been changed. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds in Romans 8, 1 and 2 there, okay? But that happens because we have the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit in us. So I don't know if any of you have thought, well, my soul's not a good thing, okay? In and of itself, connected with this nature, the old nature, it doesn't go very well. But now you have the Holy Spirit in you and your spirit's now alive in God. He's transforming us from one degree of glory to the next. And that happens as we daily submit and surrender our lives to him. And a lot of that happens through remembering, reminding ourselves, okay? Because the enemy wants to undermine what you already know. What did he do with Adam and Eve? Did God really say? So the enemy comes along a lot of the time and asks, is that really true for you? It's true for everybody else, but is that really true for you? And that's why we have to remind ourselves so that we live with a renewed mind, renewed way of thinking. So let's just pray for a moment before we break bread. And just take a moment each of us before you can pray in your groups. Just take a moment. Firstly, just want to encourage you to thank the Lord that you're no longer here controlled by the sinful nature. That sinful nature was crucified with Christ, dead and buried. It's gone down. When you were baptized, it was left there in the grave. You're now a new creation, a new person. And just thank the Lord now that you have a new nature, that you have His nature, because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Now just thank the Lord that you have a mind, you have emotions, and you have a will, and you have a body. Thank Him that He's blessed you with all of those. Now thank Him that they're no longer connected to a sinful nature. But just thank Him, Father, I thank You now. I'm alive to You because my spirit is now alive to You. You live in me by Your spirit. I'm now alive in You. And I thank You that You're transforming me by the renewing of my mind, that I have the mind of Christ. I thank You as I surrender afresh my emotions to You. I don't have to be led by my emotions and my feelings. I thank You I can be led by You, Holy Spirit. And as Jesus prayed, Father, not my will, but Your will be done. That's part of taking up our cross daily, surrendering and submitting our will to His. Father, I don't want to just live in my own will. I want to choose what You want. I want to live according to Your will, Your ways. And just thank the Lord for your body. Just thank Him that you are blessed to have a body, because if you didn't have a body, you wouldn't be here. Just thank Him for the body, the life that He's given you, and that He lives in you by His Spirit. Just talk to the Holy Spirit for a moment. Say, Holy Spirit, I thank You that You are in me. Thank You that You're a person. Holy Spirit, I want to know You more. I want to know You. You're in me. I want to know You. Holy Spirit, would You show me more and more of who You are, what it means to know You. You are the fruit. You produce the fruit of the Spirit, the nature and the character of Christ. Thank You, Holy Spirit. Jesus, we thank You that You gave Your life for us so that all this could be possible. And we thank You on the night that You were betrayed, where You could have got offended because of being betrayed by someone who'd been with You for 3 years. Instead, amazing heart of mercy and grace, forgiveness. On the night that You were betrayed, You took bread and You broke it, and You said that this is My body, which is given for You. Jesus, we thank You that You gave Yourself for us. You gave Yourself willingly for us so that everything we've been talking about this morning could be made possible, so that we're not left in an eternity without You, but You brought us into eternal life. We already have eternal life in us, and we know where we're going after we leave this earth. We thank You, Jesus, that You gave Your life so that we might know You. And You say every time You do this, remember Me. Jesus, we remember who You are. We remember You went to the cross. We remember You allowed Yourself to be whipped and beaten and everything that took place before the cross and on the cross. We thank You that You took every sin and pain and shame and sickness on the cross so that we can take hold of all of that by faith and say, thank You, Jesus, for Your forgiveness, Your cleansing power, Your healing grace, Your freedom and liberty. Thank You. That's why we have communion, to remember who we are in You because of who You are and what You've done. It's a meal of celebration. And we thank You that You shed Your blood and You took the cup and You said, this is the blood of the new covenant. This is My blood that is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. We thank You, Your blood is the most powerful liquid in the universe. Amen. There's nothing else that can match it. And we thank you that your blood not only cleanses us from all sin, makes us acceptable before you. That's why we can come boldly before your throne of grace, because of who you are and what you've done, because of the blood of Jesus. The blood is still speaking right now, today. And we thank you this blood is royal blood. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shed his blood so that we could be adopted as his sons and daughters into his family, so we can become children of his. This blood has adopted us. That's why we can call ourselves children of God. We belong to him. So we thank you, Jesus. We thank you for who you are and what you've done. And we celebrate your goodness.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.